came from afar and walking without sound, gradually disrobing so their pink and black flesh smouldered in the different frequencies at play. Each of them nearing the open door, without their suits and dresses, which they cast off with gay abandon and left to languish in the sprinklers that shh and turned them to stone. An unlucky few left as decorative ornaments and on the patio for when the sun returned. When they arrived on the doorstep, they were completely nude. The owls watched with televisual eyes, and the antennas on the house twitched like those in a bug finding sweet fruits. All were welcome in its mouth. A suburban outfit. Then there was the obligatory pacing of the room, the flashbacks of ex-girlfriends, and soup. He'd taken a moment to chop up the leeks and tatties, add the stock, watch the steam rise, think of sex. He didn't feel very sexy. What words would be put down on the page? Would it be out and out filth, suggestive, or just plain pedestrian? Were the eyes to be filled with desire, the legs spread, the loins longing, their sex like giant cats lazing in the scorching savannah sun before turning on one another and drawing blood? He observed two Eurasian doves copulating on the balcony railings. It was as if the female had a slit in her lower back, a strange place for a cunt. The adults entered the white room and took their positions on the floor. The governess and the master followed behind and plied them with an intoxicating liquor poured from jugs and straight down their gullets. They splashed in the liquid, fish naked and bucking in the surf. The men's penises were engorged and hard as steel. 100 workers sat along their length and eating lunch high above the city. The women's nipples were fat with summer, pussy lips slicker than bat wings in the rain. They all seen whole, danker than a wartime cellar filled with the resistance. And how they writhed in the erotic nets, bizarre beasts with tendrils spouting from their bodies. From the nighttime lawns of suburbia, alive with the sound of sprinklers, the rooms of the house lit up and glowed pink. The slapping sound of flesh and fluid gurgled and belched and sloshed and splashed. Windows sticky sweets. Partners were passed around and exchanged with the casual air of picnic season. Existing orifices plundered, others newly ripped. Fingers, toes, elbows, household objects at hand. Anything and everything was used to bring pleasure. A fucking assembly line, controlled by fucking machines. Levers were yanked and pulled, buttons banged. The human was removed, the mechanics took over. They slotted and twisted in one another, mouse gaping, polyps upon polyps, human fungi multiplying. Septic cultures spilling from the petri dish. Tissues stretched to breaking point. Skins flayed. Enough juices squirting and ejaculating to fill a public swimming bath. And when there were no fluids left, the vessels became dry and started to smoke with excessive friction. Small fires broke out in their bodies, and soon they gathered into a raging inferno. Their eyes switching black like television sets. The flames ravaged the curtains and soft furnishings. Mirrors cracked in the heat. Wardrobes filled with strange and exotic furs ignited. The walls screamed in pain and the windows of the house blew out, spooking the multitude of cats that had gathered under the car sumps to fuck. All that was left was the charred remains of what should have been a fun time party. black bones, splintered, a stockade torn apart in a siege, teeth white like dead whales, flesh chunks exploded and cooking on the landing carpet, tapping minds with their grandfather's shooting sticks, and recalling the flash of pheasant red before the kill, the feathered bombs detonating above the old manor house, in the middle of a bleak and spectral moor that may never have existed. Some eyes came briefly back to life, and those that did were filled with children who'd caught their parents at it. Governess and the Master observed the desecration, part two of their mission complete. They smiled at one another, proud of the mess they'd created and the clarity of the removal of the adults of the town now bring. They moved amongst the corpses that tried to consume themselves during the orgy, bugs and mounted beasts in one another's mouths, and took jewellery as souvenirs. Carbonized shapes were being sick, the taste of flesh unbecoming. They had tears in their eyes, they were ashamed, they retched, then retched some more. "Watch my shoes," the governess scolded, then squatted, pulling her panties to the side, and pissed on the offenders entwined like snakes on the floor. The house darkened on the outside, consumed by a cloak of feathers. A sharp yellow beak and a beady eye came into view. "Our ride has arrived." She pulled up her panties and made her way to the garden. The spirits of the dead struggled through the cracks in the house, escaping into the cool night air and fleeing for a place they called heaven, but they never made it. The birds' talons gathering up like straws and dropping into a hungry nest to be picked apart by its blind and screeching hatch. "That'll do." He stopped scribbling and looked out the window at the faintly painted mountain range in the distance. "Maybe I'll try and score this scene again in the morning." The governess stood at the head of the class, all hawk eyes and pointed nose. "You've had your brains turned to mush with the advent of technologies that do little to advance you as a species and everything to repress you. Instead of evolving into an apex predator, they've made you soft. Soft as a berry to be squeezed and popped between two fingers. You've regressed to nothing short of plant life, but with zero of its admirability. Heaven knows what would happen if this planet was ever to come under attack. From today onwards, playing the victim and looking for someone or something else to blame is a punishable offence. Competition will return to the curriculum. Attendance prizes. The furnace enjoys eating such nonsense. Take pride in pushing your minds and bodies to the extreme. True equality can only exist through survival of the fittest. Note the board behind, the words written on it. Shelter, survival, sex. Those who succeed at these will be permitted to wear a sword in public and allowed to partake in intercourse beyond basic training. Those who don't, we feed to the worms.